Sunday, Lady Shirin Chavis Haldodas, Shara Bitochon. It's Sunday, 17th of Kislev, November 29, and we're in Shara Bitochon, Perek Dalet, the second item on the list of seven things, where he tells us how to apply Bitochon. Meluni Chavis Haldodas, Shara Bitochon, Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet gives a list of seven things, seven areas, and how to apply Bitochon to those areas. We finished the first area, which is basic life and things you need. Kamuvan, a person still has to have a lot of introspection and objectivity to figure out what's called what you need. This is not only Nogeya Parnasa, which is his main focus throughout the whole Sefer, in fact, but it's Nogeya health and shelter and clothing, you know, what you must have. So we talked about how to deal with that, and that was the first area. We're moving now on to the second area. I want to repeat what he said in the first area. He was very ma'arich. His arichus was to convince you that hishtadlus is needed. Because his attitude was, he said, there you have to have bitachon. You know, you have no choice. It's a no-brainer. Certainly you can rely on Hashem, who's giving you life, to give you everything you need for life. So he spends most of his talking about that first area in something we have no problem with. We have a problem the other way. But his problem was, I won't do any ishtadlus, because if that's the right attitude, so why should I do anything? So he says, because you have to. Okay. Bupir shechelek hasheni, who b'inyonei kinyonei ha'adam, a person's possessions, the sibas tirfo, involving himself in the means of parnasa, v'ofanei asokov, the way he deals k'mischar, whether it's in business, u'malacha, v'halichos hadrochem, u'minui, Uschirus, he hires himself out as a hired worker. Upekidos, vavodos hamalachim, vegizborus, vekablonos, veavuna, vesafros, umine havodos, valichos hamidborus, vahayamin. Vadomalazet, mimeashimis askim bo lekabets mamon, ulaharbos mosore hamichya. I want more money than I need. Now again, this takes a lot of introspection and objectivity, because no one in the world thinks to have more money than they need, or very few people. Most people, regular people, you ask them and they'll say, no, I struggle, I need everything. But that's not necessarily true, because maybe you don't need as many rooms as you have. Maybe you don't need as many clothing as you have. Maybe you don't need a car, etc. I'm not going into it now. We're not going to discuss it now. It's a very difficult discussion to have. I just want to be clear. We're talking about more than you need, and people have trouble admitting that they're dealing with more than they need. But how do you apply bitachon to more than you need? Right? As I always say, my father's second wife, she was rich in Europe. She had three dresses instead of two. Everybody else had two dresses, one for Choyl and one for Shabbos, and they were very rich, she used to tell us, and she had three. One for Choyl, one for Shabbos, and one for Yontif. So, that's just to give you an idea. There was a generation ago, two generations ago already by now. But, yeah. So, remember that we're dealing with someone who's, and it might not be called what you need, because you don't want to be a neb, and you want to keep up with everyone else. You want to be the same. So that might not be called what you need. These are very difficult shilas. They're not easy to clarify. We'll see if it makes a difference. Because the Lovers just puts it into a different category, because he's making a list. So number one, it's what you need, and how to deal with it, how to apply bitachon to it, and hishtadlus. Now he's a number two. His answer might be the same. We'll see. It's not the same, by the way. Now remember, he's talking about someone that's doing something that meets the requirements of the end of Perigimel. They feel they're cut out for it. They feel Hashem is speaking to them and saying, this is something you should do. Now, he's going to talk about limiting your hishtadlus in terms of work. Again, he's focused on parnasa. Truth is, it's very, again, we get into difficult areas now that he doesn't deal with. Let's talk about a doctor. It's very difficult. A doctor's performing a service. Everybody's performing a service. That's one of the conditions at the end of Perigimel, how you should pick a profession, that you're doing something constructive for the world. Remember, something you're good at, something that gives you job satisfaction, and something that's a positive contribution to the world. So, a person could say, well, once I'm making a positive contribution to the world, so why should I make a positive contribution for 6 hours? Let me make a positive contribution for 10 hours. And if I earn a little more money from that, all to the better. What's wrong? But I'm making, it still meets the criterion. I'm doing something constructive. That's not always true. Because sometimes the positive contribution to the world is that you're earning money and you are paying tuition and you're supporting your family, and that's also a positive contribution to the world. When we said then at the end of Perigimel, positive contribution to the world, I don't think it had to mean something as glamorous like a doctor or something as, you know, not so nigla glamorous, but more subtle as a teacher. You know, you're making the truth is even someone that stocks shelves in the supermarket is making, could look at him, what he's doing or what she's doing as a positive contribution to the world and making it easier for people to shop. But but it's also a positive contribution that this is what I've decided to do, this is what I decided my parnosa should come from, and I'm raising a family, and I'm supporting a family, and I'm paying my tuition, and I'm giving stucco, and I'm being, you know, so that's also a positive contribution to the world. I don't think the Chazal has ever meant to, out of the category of a positive contribution to the world. So, what's wrong? Why is the Chazal of He's going to say it's markedly different than item number one. So I want to give a hakdama. What's wrong with saying, is this, you know, I'm making a positive contribution to the world, let me do it for 10 hours a day instead of for 6 hours a day. He's presuming not. But I'm saying, maybe, I'm saying the answer is it's a question of priorities. If someone comes to me and says, you know, I have to work this many hours a day to earn a living and to make ends meet and to pay my bills, and I really don't have time to learn. What should I do? So I answer them, well, you know, it's terrible to be in Chovos. Your first, Chavisalova says in category number one, your first obligation, I don't know, first, after the Sheish Mitzvah Tmidius, your first obligation is to earn a living and pay your bills. You know, if you're in debt, that means other people are paying your bills. You have to be self-sufficient. That is all Nichlal in category number one. Basic life, self-sufficiency. That was in category number one. But if someone comes to me and says, I'm making a positive contribution to the world, I'm not going into yet what the Chavis HaLovus will say about it, about Bitachon and Ishtadlus, about earning more money than you need. I'm looking at it from the perspective of, I'm making a positive contribution to the world, why wouldn't I want to do that for 10 hours instead of 6 hours? And my answer is maybe, yeah. But now, now we have to prioritize. Now if you come to me and say, I could make a living if I work 6 hours a day, let me work 4 hours a day because I'm making a positive contribution to the world. Then I'll say, but what about your own learning? What about your own ruchniyustic development? That now becomes a cheshbin. When you told me you're not making ends meet, and you have to pay your bills, and you have to work 10 hours a day to pay your bills, so you don't have time to learn? Okay, so for someone like you, if you truly don't, so for someone like you, it says, Kriya Shema, Boker and Erev, Yomakayim, Bogisa, Boyom, Balayla. You don't have time. Make time, 5 minutes even, make time in the morning, at night, come on, you could always make time. Okay, but it's a different ball game. But if he comes to me and says, I'm making a positive contribution to the world, if he says, I'm a doctor, and let me work 10 hours a day, not 6, I'll say, what about your own spiritual development? It's also a cheshbon. You see, that's why it's different. It's not so simple that because the Chavis HaLolos already gave us the premise that any job you do should fulfill the 3 things he talks about, which is, I feel I'm good at it, I'm cut out for it, I have job satisfaction from it, and I'm making a positive contribution to the world. And he even used a lashon, that's how Hashem is telling me what to do. Like an inner voice. Hashem is talking to me. My neshama is talking to me. That's what I feel. And again, I'm repeating myself. That a positive contribution in the world might be that I'm earning money and I have a family and I'm raising a family and I'm paying my bills. Believe me, that's a positive contribution to the world. Right? When people do that, that's pretty good. Even if, you know, you're selling, I don't want to say anything bad, someone here might be in that business. But, you know, anything you do, you can turn into a mitzvah and a chesed. Anything that's out there, you're really helping people, no matter what you're doing. Really, I mean, and in fact, it's recommended that no matter what you do, you should have in mind that you're helping people. Whether it's v'hatul echa kamocha, or you're doing chesed, the fact that you're getting paid for it and that's your parnasa doesn't take away from it at all. So you should always have in mind, even if you're, again, it would be nice if the supermarket shelf stacker would think, I am making easier for people to shop. Or otherwise they would spend more time shopping, they'd get more frustrated. I'm helping the storekeeper earn a living because it's easier for people to shop, they can find the things easier, etc., etc. But the point I'm making is, my main point that I want to make, I keep going off on tangents, is that in the second category, it becomes a question of priority. Again, if someone comes to me and says, I can earn a living in 6 hours, but I'm really helping people. I'm helping people, so why shouldn't I do it for 10 hours? Then I would question, what is he doing for himself? Is he learning? Is he going to minyan every day? Is he, you know, a woman, you know, how's your household working out? You know, if you are the source of parnos in your house, and you could work it out with 6 hours, and you can work it out with, you know, 8 hours also, and you don't, but you learn a parnosa in 6 hours, and you're home, you know, you could work it out. I'll say, no, now you have to prioritize. Maybe it's more important for you to be home with your children. Maybe. Everything's a shiloh. It's not clear. Every case is different. But that's the point. I'm saying the reason the second category is the second category, even if we accept the premise that you're doing something constructive for the world, and you might be tempted to say, well then, why are you limiting me, Mr. Chavis HaLavis? I want to contribute more to the world. That might be a valid mahalach, and the Chavis HaLavis, the truth is, does not deal with that. But I'm saying now, I'm lemaisa. Now it becomes a question of priorities. Who said you should make a positive contribution to the world more than your own spiritual growth? Who says that's the best choice? Okay, but Chavis HaLavis is turning his attention to bitachon and hishtadlus. To what degree can you rely on Hashem? To what degree do you rely on Hashem? And where does hishtadlus fit into this? In the first category, he said it's such a no-brainer to have bitachon, because it's life itself and basic stuff, that he had to spend
a lot of time convincing us, even though I could have told him he doesn't have to convince us, that we have to do hishtadlus.
Now, he's going to say, no hishtadlus, sorry. It's a waste of time. You're either going to, once you pass, this is why we have trouble with this, and that's why we convince ourselves that we need everything, because we want to put it into the first category. Even if we want to be frum and listen to the Chavis HaVavos, but till we develop, bitachon is a very difficult thing to develop. So you say, what are you telling me if I'm going to have the same money if I work 6 hours a day or I work 10 hours a day? Again, we're talking about the theoretical case. It's not theoretical, but we think it's theoretical, but I'll call it theoretical so that at least we'll hear what he's saying so we can accept it, because we'll say, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's only theoretical. 6 hours a day earns me parnasa, right? I want to keep the falafel store open 8 hours a day. I want to earn more money. I want to have money to take a trip once in a while. I want to have money to buy more clothing. I want to buy a DVD. I want to buy higher quality food. You know, whatever. I want to have more than I need, and it takes more. Chazal says there's no heter of hishtadlus here. So here you say, listen, Hashem was either gozer, I should have the more money, and if I have the more money, it's going to come through my hishtadlus of my basic needs, which I'm mechuyev to do. So you'll say, how? Ooh, your car won't break, your kid won't need braces, right? You won't lose your wallet, you won't get into a car accident, you won't have to go to the doctor. There's many ways in which money can stretch. Hashem is pretty smart, and he can figure it out. Because, right, we always have, things always happen. So, and if you're not supposed to have that money, then no matter how many jobs you do, you're not going to have that money. So even though you will earn that money, and you'll say, ha-ha, I outsmarted the Chavis HaVavos, but the car will break, and your kid will need braces, and your other kid will need a tutor, and this and that. And meanwhile, you're thinking, Baruch Hashem, I took a second job because my car broke. And when you get to Shemaim, you'll find out that the car broke because you took a second job, and you're not supposed to have that money. That's what you'll find out. That's what the Chazal Lover says. You'll have the money. Hishtadlus is an obligation, but hishtadlus is only to the point of needs. Once you go over the point of needs, there's no heter for hishtadlus. You'll either have the money because it's decreed in Shemaim, you'll have it, or you won't have it. That's the case in the first category also. Except that there's an obligation of hishtadlus. And there's no obligation of hishtadlus over the line of needs. Once there's no obligation of hishtadlus, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. And if you do earn more money, then you're going to have to spend it. Things are going to happen, and it's going to be gone. I'm telling you, and you're going to look at it inversely. You're going to look at it incorrectly. You're going to be looking at it at the wrong end of the microscope, of the telescope. You're going to be looking through the wrong end. And if you're supposed to have the money, so you'll have the money, you'll buy a stock once and the stock will shoot up, right? Well, or you'll save money because you'll hear about a sale, you know, that you wouldn't have heard about. Hashem has many ways to give you the money you're supposed to have. Now it could be, so now people, when they hear this, they say to me, are you trying to tell me that the guy that's stocking shelves in the supermarket, if he's supposed to be rich, so he's going to be rich, and the doctor, we're assuming the olden days when doctors had made money, and if the guy's a doctor and he's not supposed to be rich, he's not going to earn money. That's not so believable. So the answer is, first of all, plenty of plumbers have much more money than doctors. That's first of all. Second of all, and the real answer is, again, we're looking at it with our human eyes, and we're not looking at it through the eyes of bitachon. The person that's supposed to be rich, let's assume for a second the shelf stacker is not going to be rich, and the doctor will be rich. Let's assume that. So all that means is that the person that was supposed to be rich will become a doctor. He will be born to parents who will want him to go to medical school. he will be born in a country. We're talking about the neshama. We're talking about the person. The person is the neshama. The person is not the person you see in the mirror when you look in the mirror. The person is the neshama. So the neshama is sent down to earth, and Hashem says, Osher of Ani. So the Ani will become a shelf stacker, let's say. Just, again, just for the sake of argument, to bring out the point. So again, it doesn't change the dynamic of what the Chavis HaLavis is teaching us. We look at it, we mix up cause and effect. Because we are human, and we don't have developed bitachon properly, so we literally mix up the cause and the effect. We look at the cause as the second job, and the effect is I can pay the bill of the broken car. And really, the cause, the other way around, you know, it's like I said, It's the job that caused the broken car, not the broken car that caused that Baruch Hashem, I have the job. You want to hear something?
Yeah, sometimes there are other people involved. It's not necessary.
He's going to talk about that. Let's wait. He's about to talk about that. That sometimes a person has employees. Then it's a whole different ballgame. Well, a family. Family.
You know, I'm thinking of, I know a particular doctor who's a real nurse in a particular area. And people wait in his office hours and hours and have to book appointments long in advance for important things because he's learning till 2 o'clock or whatever.
Dr. Stein.
No, I didn't think. I wasn't.
Oh.
Somebody else that would know also.
Okay.
But and people.
He has to ask his rav. That's a shaila. How do you prioritize?
He's got a smith from the rav.
No. He can't. You can't. It's very hard for a person to make his own decisions. It's a question of priority. Let's say. Maybe he has to worry also. Chayecha Kodman. Once he's passed, I can't answer. If you'll come and tell me if you want me to deal with the case, I'll gladly deal with it. Not gladly, I'll deal with it. No. Listen. If someone comes and says, this is pikuach nefesh, every person that sees you is pikuach nefesh. They come to you because you are the expert in chemo. You are the expert oncologist. You are the expert in this. Every single person that comes to you needs guidance to save their lives. That's one question. That's not always the case.
No.
Always the people, you know, they feel a doctor, people in the, certainly in the olden days, some doctors nowadays too, you feel like his mom is your mentor, you feel like he's guiding your life, you know, you, like my friend in Farakaway, no? It's a tough balance. He has to look out for himself, his spiritual, not himself, sounds selfish, he has to look out for his own spiritual growth. So how many hours do you spend doctoring? And how many hours do you spend? You know, it's a tough call.
It's not. He's very good about that.
You know, when his father started off as a doctor, so he started off, he told me he had like 2 patients a day. I mean, you start off, but he scheduled them both for 4 o'clock. So that they should see that they have to wait. You know, they shouldn't look. You couldn't even come to an empty waiting room, you get scared off. Dr. Stein learns a whole day. Dr. Stein on Sorotskin learns first and second Seder by Reb David Soloveitchik. He's a fantastic doctor. He learns first and second Seder. He opens up shop at 8 p.m., 8:30 p.m. He goes till 12, 1 o'clock. His office is packed. You walk in for a prescription, you've got an hour wait. He's an amazing, wonderful person and a very good diagnostician, and he somehow keeps up on all the latest stuff in medicine, which I don't understand how he does it. So Hashem Liyareyov, maybe. I don't know how he does it. But that's how he decided to structure his life. I don't know if he asked the Shaila, then ask the Shaila. It's not illogical. He's helped tens of thousands of people over the last 30 years, and he did it all between 8 p.m. and 12 midnight. And he learns 2 solid storm by Reb David Soloveitchik. Ad hayom. That's it. That's his life. That's it. And you're going to say, oh, you should be helping more people. Who said? You know. So it's a tough call. And you have to ask a shayla. In your case, you have to ask a shayla. The David Ryan LaMarshall has normal hours, right? He learns every other
seconds. He's learning. Like he's learning every other second. He gets up in the early morning. He learns between the morning hours and the afternoon hours. He's learning, and he's only learning. I mean, I want to become a doctor and always be learning like he does.
It's a tough call. It's important to hear the principles. Marshall, this is an important principle. It's an important principle. Once you're over the line of what you need,
again, when are you over that line? No, everybody will deny ever being over that line. But once you're over the line, it's important to learn about Bitochen and to learn about his Tadlus. His point is very important. Once you're over the line of what you need, there's no Dinish Tadlus, and Mamela, you're wasting your time. You'll either have money or you won't have money. You'll have the money you're supposed to have, you won't have the money you're supposed to have. So you say, but what about Hishtadlus? There is no Hishtadlus for more than basic sustenance. So that's what he says. That's what Chavis Lovis says. There's no Heter, and Mamela, you're wasting your time. It's not going to accomplish anything. If you believe in Bitachon, so to speak, and you don't, even when it's basic sustenance, you're wasting your time. But he has taught us it's obligatory. So you're really wasting your time. I'll leave it to Emes. Maybe now that it's obligatory, you're not wasting your time because you're fulfilling your obligation. And if you don't fulfill your obligation, so then there's a tain on you. It's an aveira. We said it's mamish an aveira. But over the line, because I would like to have more money, I would like to be more comfortable. Fine, and maybe you will be, but don't work more hours. But he's going to now. We have to learn it inside, and then he starts talking about if a person has other people dependent on him. What about then? He's earning more money, but he has employees that he's employing, so he has to pay them. They're earning a living too. So he's building up his business and earning more money, but meanwhile he keeps increasing employees, and he is the conduit of Hashem, the channel, to give other people parnosa. Or even Lovis is talking to us, it sounds strange, but he's even talking about a person's family. Right? A family is not the person. Family is the family. So maybe Hashem's giving me more money because I have to support my children. We don't think of it that way, but he does. Okay, let's learn it inside. Ofana Yosher have been talking by Malho Elokim. For what he calls mosros, what's more than needed, she is asek b'meshezimin lo habore mehem letzorech sipuko umezono. I'm staying open for business 6 hours a day. That's what I decided. I made a cheshbon. I earn my parnosa with 6 hours a day. Ulagi al mashiyesh bo diamond ha'olam, and that's it. If I'm supposed to have more money than my basic sustenance, you'll have it without working more. Because what's working more? It's not you, it's Hashem. And there's no din hishtadlus. This is a chiddush. This is the Chavis Lovis' chiddush. A person might say, if I set as a life's goal to have twice as much money as I need, that's my goal in life. So you might say, and it wouldn't be illogical. So you have a chiyuv hishtadlus. You automatically have to, once you set that as a life's goal, then you must do the hishtadlus to do that. Chazon says, no, that's wrong. There's no heter to do hishtadlus. The heter to do hishtadlus is up till the point of needs, not beyond. Kasha yiftach al ho'elo kimba. So you're relying on Hashem, you know. You'll daven, you want to find bracha b'maisa yodecha, you want to give tzedakah, you want to have achnasas orchim, you want to do things with your money beyond basic sustenance. So fine. So Hashem will either send it to you or he won't send it to you. Or as I said, your life will develop in a way, let's say someone comes to me with a shayla, I earn enough money. It's the principle that's important. And it's very difficult to apply it to life. I'm mode, but it's more important to learn the principle. Lamar Gosama comes to me and says, I can earn enough money in 6 hours. So I want to close my pizza store after 6 hours. So I'll say, I don't know if you can, because if you close after 6 hours, people are going to want to eat supper. and they're going to come to your store at 6 p.m., 7 p.m. for supper, and your store is going to be closed, then you're not going to have any business in the morning hours either, because they're going to come. The person says, "Oh, I can open my store at 11 o'clock." So, and I'll earn enough money. I'll be open the whole day. I say, "Yeah, but the mall opens at 9, and people start going shopping at 9. So people are going to come to your store. It's going to be closed till 11. They're going to say, you know, what do I need this headache for? I want to shop when it's convenient for me." I think that's a valid cheshbon. You have to, now you could always be afraid. That's where bitachon kicks in. But sometimes it boils down, yes, to basic hishtadlus. You need someone to judge these matters. These are weighty matters. They're not simple matters. Maybe indeed you're ruining your hishtadlus if the store only opens at 11. It's very frustrating to someone that wants to... It may be like that. It may not be like that. Right? There's certain stores, you know, they open at 11. You know, they open at 11 and then they open late at night. You know, you understand what I mean? I could hear that sometimes... Again, and this is such a one sliver of example that we're talking about how many hours you have your store open. There's so many other... How much to advertise... Right? How much to advertise? So you have a bigger ad, and the statistics show that the bigger the ad, the more customers you have. So you say, okay, but I have no heter to spend money on a full page ad if a half a page ad, according to the statistics, will bring me enough customers for sustenance. So then, if I'm supposed to get more customers will see the half page ad, and they'll come into the store with a half page ad. I'm not tied to the statistics, because I have bitachon. Could be. It applies to everything. Relationships, health. It's difficult. Perek Dalet of Chavis Halbavis and Shara Bitachon is the down-to-earth practicality of Bitachon, and you learn it, and you see it's like saying the Rif wrote a Sefer Halacha, right? You know, the Rif took the Gemara and wrote a Sefer Halacha, how to act. But if you take from the Rif to today, you have the Rosh and the Tur and the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach and the Magen Avraham down to the Mishnah Berurah. Right? Now the Mishnah Berurah is not enough anymore to get you through the day, because life has become so complex and so complicated, and different cases evolved, and now the Mishnah Berurah is not enough. You know, you need the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah. You don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe you do. It's just like, Shara Bitachon is not enough anymore, but everything is so nuanced. Everything is so... So I say, if you listen to me, I say, develop Bitachon, and you'll do the right thing, and you'll figure out what to do in each case. But learn the principles. The main thing is to do Perek Gimel, so to speak, and Dalet. Gimel is to develop Bitachon. You can't move if you don't do Perek Gimel. Do meaning not learning it. Learning it's nothing. I mean, I appreciate that you come to Ashir, but I don't make you feel better. Learning is nothing. It's nothing. You have to do it. You have to think about it. You have to contemplate it. You have to... Do I really think this is true? Am I holding there? Did I internalize this? Am I convinced that this is so? That's what I mean by do Perek Gimel. Then you have to do Perek Dalet, but the principles of it. Then you're going to get to real life. And you're going to, oh man, what do I do? And people call me up with Shilas, and it really, 90% of the time, 95% of the time, it's not a shaila. You have to decide for yourself. You have to look into yourself, see. And you can't do it unless you have bitachon. Then you see, you have to be honest, introspective, as I say, and you have to know, am I talking because of, I guess I don't really have bitachon. I guess I don't. Right? Like I always say about myself. You know, when my daughter turned 24, I saw that I didn't really have bitachon the way I thought I did. Only because I was nervous. And you're not supposed to be nervous. So I was nervous. So, there you go. So it's hard. It is hard. And that's a no-brainer. There was no subtleties there or nuances. That was like straightforward. Here he's talking my money and over the line. So first of all, I'm not even sure what's called a need and what's called a want, a desire. What's called mosrus and what's called basic needs. Someone will say, so I'll say it for you so you don't have to say it. There's no such thing as too much money. I'm saving up for the chasen of my children. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as too much money. There's never enough, because I need to save to have money to marry off my children. Because marrying off my children is a tremendous expense. And there's never enough money for that. I could work 26 hours a day. There's not enough money to marry off my children.
I don't know. I was just talking to someone, I married off 8 children, so people think I know what I'm talking about. I don't. Everything's an ace. Every child's an ace. Every single child. I can tell you stories. I would be tell you personal stories. Every child is an ace. There's no way to do it. There's no way to do it. Every child is an ace b'fnei atzmo, and a story b'fnei atzmo, and how it happened b'fnei atzmo. It's an ace. And a person has to decide. There's nothing wrong with a person deciding, for example. Okay. I don't have money. I can't offer an apartment for my children. Well, yeah. And I have been talking to a shidduch. People do shidduchim without buying apartments. They do, even in Eretz Yisrael. They do. There's no spinsters walking around because they couldn't give an apartment. So it's not like a nace goloi. But would I tell a person you're over the line of bitachon if you save up money for an apartment? No, I wouldn't, because it's normal enough, and it's expected enough, and it's the first question the Shatzan asks you. Before they ask you your name, they ask you how much money do you have. I can't forget that. That is literally true. I mean, that is literally true. They call up, before they say hello, they say, how much money do you have you got? So I always wanted to hang up right away, but my wife wouldn't let me. But I never answered the phone, so it really wasn't no gay.
Rabbi, in Muncie, there's a shotgun that I met. She said, don't talk to me unless you have $100,000 and the girl is a size 6. Period.
Okay. There will always be people saying all sorts of things. $100,000, that's cheap. That's cheap. America, you wouldn't even... Anyway, but it's not true. I have relatives who are poor. Hello? Mrs. Z. I have relatives in Eretz Israel, Israelis, American Israelis, who made Aliyah, living here 30 years. They're poor. And they married off all their children. Don't ask me how. Every child, it's anyway a nace. Every child is a nace. So they had their nace, and their children are married, and there's no way they gave money for an apartment. There's just no way. They barely have enough money to live. So once an uncle pops up and says he'll give money, and once the other side is rich, and with a third kid, they're perfectly happy to get by with what the wife earns, and he gets kolel, and the parents help out a little. I'm telling you, every child's a nace. Every child is a nace. It's really a nace golui, but we call it a nace nister. It's really a nace golui. What's my point? My point is that these things... every step of the way, every line we learn is really, it's not Mishneh Berurah level. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like Rambam level. You know what that means? Am I talking to learned women? You know what that means? The Rambam also wrote a halacha sefer. But no one can live life now with a Rambam. You can't. No one can live life anymore with a Mishneh Berurah, I want you to know. A Mishneh Berurah is not enough. Okay, it's enough 80% of the time. But there's a lot, there's kitzur Shulchan Aruch used to be enough. No more. Mishneh Berurah is not enough anymore. You know how many svarim have already been written on the Mishneh Berurah, elaborating and extrapolating and more cases and more cases and more cases that the Mishneh Berurah didn't quite talk about? Koshkei Nechavis HaLovas, which was written 1,000 years ago and is talking principles of bitachon. So how do you apply that to life? How do you apply that to my life? So you say, what's the point of coming to the shiur? Well, first of all, obviously a lot of people taka say that, obviously. But the point is that if you don't have the principles, then you can't start. You can't start. It's like saying, you know, Mishnah Berurah is not enough to get through life, so I'm not going to learn Gemara, and I'm not going to learn Mishnayos, and I'm not going to learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You have to get the principles. And I can almost promise you, I really would promise you, but it sounds very pompous, so I won't, but I could, but I won't. If you develop your bitachon intuition, I call it. Even if you're not holding by perfect bitachon, which you get after 40, 50, 60 years, it's very hard to really get to the... I don't know if it's possible even. At the end of the Chayv Salov Shar Bitachon, he says there's 10 levels of bitachon. 10 levels of bitachon. And believe me, we'll learn it. We kick in at around level... The average person who's already good and came to Rabbi Linus's wonderful shiurim kicks in at number 5 or 6, and there's 10. So it's hard, very, very hard. But if you develop, you have to learn the principles. I don't think it's a waste of time. You learn the principles, and you develop sort of an intuition, and you say, "Oh, this is too much ishtavlus. I'm doing it because I'm nervous, because I don't really have bitachon that Hashem will take care, so I think if I do that extra, I'll get it, but I won't. I have to realize I won't." And you know yourself. Your neshama knows, your conscience, your neshama, your subconscious, your heart, your soul knows that, you know, I'm doing this because I don't really have bitachon. And I think that if I take a full page ad, I'll get more customers. And I'll get more customers than Hashem has decreed for me, so to speak. And once you put it that way, you say, wait a second, I'm not going to get more customers than Hashem has decreed for me. And a half a page ad is enough. So I'll do it. You know yourself. You can't ask. People ask me shayles all the time, and I really don't want to answer them, because you can't answer it. Because one person's bitachon is another person's hishtadlus. I know I sound like a modern rabbi that's being non-judgmental. But it's so important to learn that most people don't know the principles of bitachon. They don't know you have to learn the principles, and then you have to integrate them, internalize them, think about them, consider them, turn it over in your mind, and you develop what I call a bitachon intuition. And hopefully, wherever your madrega is, you say, okay, I have to do this. I have to go to that shatran. You know, I have to go to a special shatran that specializes in difficult cases. You know, maybe I don't. People get married all the time. People who wear glasses that are nerdy, they also get married. The guy in my coil in Bar Avaba, this is like, going back, I don't want to say how old I am, but going back many decades. And he wasn't getting married, he was an older bacha. Great, a fine fellow, good fellow. So they decided he has to change his glasses. Because he had real nerdy glasses. He did. And I said, I don't want to say his name. I said, that must be ridiculous. You think people with worse glasses don't get married? Go look in the street who's married. You'll see much worse glasses than you have. I said, you want to get nicer glasses because, you know, but don't do it because, oh, then you're going to get a shidduch. Come on. Don't be ridiculous. Yes, he got married and he has children. That's okay.
He got
the glasses. But he didn't get engaged the next week. Believe me, he didn't get engaged the next week.
He
got engaged a year. Yeah, okay. So that's what I mean. You know yourself. If you say, I'll wear more up-to-date glasses, I won't feel like a schnorrer, I won't feel like a nerd, I'll feel, like you say, I don't feel good about myself. Now, that's the biggest mistake. That, like, after belief in Hashem is feel good about yourself. That's what they teach you nowadays. Okay. That's a seventh mitzvah tmidius.
Well,
you see? I never felt good about